When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Malia White, real-life bosun and cast member on Bravo's Below Deck Med. Working in my industry can be very interesting. These are my stories. As you'll find out, my world is a total shit show.
Today we got a special guest. You'll recognize him from Below Deck, several episodes of Below Deck, actually. Roy, welcome, Roy.
Hey, I'm Roy.
Roy, where are you? What's this music background you have?
That's a Marshall amp, red curtains. I'm in my studio.
I see a whole collection of guitars back there.
Are you in California at the moment?
I'm in California. It's been raining here, but...
Is that where you live, is in California?
Yeah, I live in Tennessee, California, London, Sweden, and New York.
Oh, okay. You're all over then.
Yeah, I'm a mammoth snowboarding with Little Roy 3.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
He's probably the cutest charter guest we've ever had.
Bo is right behind him and pretty cute. And now we have the third one is Love, baby Love. And Osa's pregnant again, so we actually are going to have four kids soon.
Oh, congratulations.
Nice. That's awesome.
We had one kid we named Lova, which is L-O-V-E in Swedish. And everyone thought that was silly. And then Puff Daddy just named his daughter Love Combs.
I like that.
Yeah.
But it's, Lova in Swedish.
Well, you'll have to do another episode of Below Deck then when you have the whole family.
I hope so. Yeah, I think I'm the biggest fan. Yeah.
So to catch like all our listeners up, Roy's been a charter guest on two of my seasons, but how many overall? Three?
I've been on two seasons. I just watched the shows again today to get a little bit like in the world.
Yeah.
So we're in season 5, episodes 3 and 4. That's those were called The Italian Job and Ace of Stewface. And then we're on season 6, episodes, I think 4 and 5. And that was Love at First Sight, Love at First Night, and Ship Happens. So we were in Spain. We were in Mallorca on the Wellington, the boat.
Yeah.
Andy and Malia and Hannah.
Yep.
Hannah was there for that. And then the next year was Malia, Captain Sandy, and Katie Floody, and Courtney, and Z, and
That was the fun season.
Yeah, the fun crew.
Okay, so Roy, basically, we want to know what it's like, because I don't even know, really, what it's like for the guest perspective. Like, what it's like filming the show. Do you enjoy it? Like, do you get the same anxiety we get when it's about to come out? Like, do you panic a little bit?
It is the greatest thing ever. I really like it. Now I've gotten used to the cameras, so I would do it again and again. I'm almost, like, addicted to it. But, there is something I kind of learned. I call it the second night jitters, you know, that like the second or third night, usually the second night. We've had, you know, in the first season, one of the guests that was with us, she kind of like, she started putting on a hoodie and glasses and we're kind of like trying to hide and be invisible. And we had another great girl on the second, we were sitting there eating dinner and a tear just starts rolling down her face. I'm fine. So there is a lot of pressure.
Pressure.
The first year, I have to tell you, we had never seen the show. And I thought it might be some kind of scam. I'm sitting on a dock and they make us wait a long time at the dock. Now that I've seen the episodes, I know what's happening. That was The Italian Job was Lara was getting fired and she was at the dock and we were at a different place, you know, and they just let us there. And we were waiting so long. I actually thought, at one point I said, oh, so what if this is a scam? What if there's no show? What if we're just out here and we've flown all the way for nothing? So a lot of feelings, you know, we didn't know what we were getting into. It's very fun. It's, we're just a small part of the show. So we actually have a lot of fun in the thing that the slide is great. You know, the is great. Even me, I think back and I go like, you know, Elvis never did this. My dad never did this. And so even it's not really just a matter of of having money. I don't even think rich people really do what we do very much. So it's not even really about that.
It's about like an experience, like a new, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really spoiled and it's nothing like that. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I think about, like I said, I saw that Elvis movie and I think Elvis, you know, king of rock and roll, really, he never had a 5-story yacht for a week.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, what kind of person really does that? and it is not many. I don't think I would have done it. No, there's no way I would have done it that big on my own.
Yeah. I also wonder about that. Like what draws people to do it? Not only just do it, but like then, you know, you're going to have cameras all around, which now that I'm in actual yachting, it's such a difference because I think with the cameras around, you're just hypersensitive to everything. You're like, what did I do? What have I messed up on? What did I say?
I've started to meet a lot of people who are also into it. And so what actually people do is you get two people or even four, you get like four groups, everyone chips in and you go do this. And so, yeah. You know, and then you get kind of a slightly smaller boat and it starts to be in the realm of possible because all the hotel rooms would be expensive. You can almost make it make sense now. So I've got plans to go, you know, I still want to see Greece that way. We saw Spain, yeah. we saw Croatia. But as far as the boating, I really do like it. The kids like it and we're spoiled to it now.
I think it's a great way to travel with kids. Like we love having kids on the yacht because they just make the days go by faster. You know, like you're just constantly getting toys out and they're just, we love it. My boss has kids, so I love that.
Well, you were fantastic. My wife and kids both said, tell her hello, and that you did great. You really made the first season and the second. In fact, that time we went out to this castle, you took us out of the castle. You were the only one. It's not in the show, you know, but you took us out by yourself to this castle and the kids jumping around. You took them, you know, dangerously jumping on an old fortress roof or something. And that,
you know, sounds about right.
You did really great. You were what I would expect if it wasn't on a TV show. You know, you did really, really a good job. And some of the others are a little bit party people and fun people. And you are that too. You are fun.
I am in the moment.
But, you know, but if there was a storm, we'd rather have you on that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Traveling with like a big family like that, little kids, do you get nervous? Like when you guys, I mean, how do you feel as far as like
safety,
you know, when you're out in the middle of the ocean with a bunch of kids and like, you know, at the time, like Malia and everyone, like they were all strangers, you know, like what is that like?
I grew up, maybe you don't know Roy Orbison well enough. So imagine like the way that Johnny Cash traveled, you know, we had a lot of people. So we would have, so I traveled, it was my dad and my mom and nannies and kids and bodyguards and drivers and band members and roadies. And so I'm used to traveling like kind of in a big, pretty big group. And so I wouldn't think of it any other way than taking my kids with me. We don't go anywhere without the kids. So that didn't, did it make me nervous? On the first charter, it was really important that they had the
life jackets
on. And I think that was a little more lenient the next one, but they were just so little and there hadn't been too many kids on these shows Below Deck. So I trusted the kids completely there. I knew they would be okay. Now, so I
also, that speaks to how Captain Sandy kind of runs the boat as well.
It was completely wonderful, safe.
This actually brings it up. Like I know your background and I know your dad and I love music, but maybe explain so that our listeners and Amanda can get caught up just exactly like a little bit of your background.
So my dad is Roy Orbison, music and sunglasses. That was his big contribution to fashion. He was the first person to wear sunglasses in media, in newspapers, on TV at night, on stage. And so he developed that kind of cliche of the sunglasses. But he was kind of the ballad guy of rock and roll. He was there with Elvis and Johnny Cash, these guys at Sun Records. And then he's considered the greatest singer who ever lived. But we grew up in rock and roll. So music family all the way around.
Okay, so I have to ask, because music is your thing. And then Below Deck, how did you feel with, because I know how I felt, but how do you feel like the television side? Do you like that aspect of it? Like,
well, It's a strange thing for me because I kind of hid from fame my whole life. There were a lot of reality shows like The Osbournes was a big one. So at the time they were actually filming that, you know, some of the time, we never signed the waiver. So my brother would actually be with the camera. We filmed some of those shows. We'd be on that side of the camera. And then there was another. So there were a lot of reality shows, and I never signed the waiver. I was really like, weird. No, I'm not signing the waiver. I'm not in the show, not in the show. And then suddenly when I had the kids, it kind of just set me free. I realized, can't ask them to do anything I wouldn't do. So I have to go make a fool out of myself now if I want little Roy to jump up there and play, you know, Pretty Woman sometime or something. So I'm still on the fence a little. Like people go like, oh, do you want your own show or something? And I go like, no, actually, I don't really want that. And Below Deck is kind of a special show because it's 24 hours. It just rolls and rolls. A lot of the shows that I know about here in LA are, you know, they rent a house and they film at their house and they unplug and go home to their real house. Yeah. They show up in the morning, they film, they film for maybe, you know, however long. But when you get to take a break, you pull the sound off. You pull the sound off, go home. You rest differently. When you're on that boat, you know, you don't know where the cameras are really. So that I was a little bit, when I got off the boat the first time, I was actually, I was talking in Swedish and I was saying, I have tekniskrek. I have a technical phobia. Like there would be a light with a weird kind of like a microphone. And I thought they were still filming for 2 days. So there's a lot of pressure, you know, like little things, fire alarms in restaurants. For a little bit, I was weird. Like 3 days, I was just on edge. So the filming part, but I like it now, you know, and what really changed for me was watching a lot of the shows, meeting you guys, seeing how you handled it, watching these Bravo shows. I got hooked. Yeah. So I am a Bravo-holic now. I watch all these shows and I see how they're editing it a little bit. And I realize it's kind of a little bit fun and games, a little bit fantasy. It's still very realistic, but I saw these shows enough that I like it. I like it as a fan too. So I'm kind of like a fan with a backstage pass to the boat.
Well, and for the record, I don't think that you made a fool of yourself at all, but were you and your family on edge? Like when the actual filming was happening, were you like, hey, they're going to be filming, so be good. Or
were there topics that are like off limits? Were you like, okay, we're not talking about this. We're not.
I'm coming at it from actually kind of a serious artist. I'm actually a songwriter, guitarist and things. So when I say make a fool out of myself, I mean, cross over in this world. And it's actually the opposite of making a fool out of myself. It is a very real world we're dealing with. So I meet people and they just say like, oh, you know, you're on that show. I go, that show is very important to a lot of people. I actually say almost sacrilegious things. And I say like, it's kind of like Beatles fans. There are a lot of Below Deck fans. It's an active fan base. And I learned it going to BravoCon. I went to BravoCon in New York. Yeah. People just love me so much. They showered me with good energy, love. I met a woman who came around. She said, "I named my dog after you." I was like, "Are you serious?" You know, and she goes, "Yeah, And another fellow came up. He said, "Really serious stuff." He said, "Roy, I have cancer, and I watch your show when I have chemo because it makes me laugh." And I'm shaking his hand. I said, you watch it more than once? He said, I watch it your episodes every time I have chemo.
Oh, wow. Wow.
This is nothing fake. This is very, very real. So BravoCon showed me what the Bravo fans are and the Below Deck fans. So there's a lot of
I think that's really cool to see. Because like I think my first season of the show, it hadn't exploded to what it is now. So over the years, now seeing just how big of a fan base and how far around the world it reaches, like, even here, like I'm in Malaysia at the moment and I have people being like, Malia from Below Deck. And I'm like, this is insane. Like it's, and below, I think it speaks to like everyone that we know behind the cameras, you know, they work so hard to build this show and it's become, and as a Yachty, I've come to appreciate it because it's showing the world just how hard like we work in this kind of alternate universe that exists where we're, you know, this yachting that not a lot of people get to see or experience. And like you said, I get people that write in and they're like, you know, I'm going through this really tough time in my life and I watch an episode and that right there makes all the drama, all the anxiety, everything worth it. I'm like, okay, if we've brightened someone's day or I've changed, or I get a lot of women that are like, I'm now gonna go pursue this career in a male dominated field because I watched you like grow up on TV.
See, I didn't know it was real. It's kind of like fantasy and real. And
yeah,
it is great.
I'm so glad you talked about the technical fear because I have that as well after filming. Yeah. So everyone knows like the day we wrap, we all stay in a hotel room and I'm always looking. I'm like, what's that red light? And I'm like, is there a hidden camera? It's like, or am I still mic'd? But to what Roy was saying is Below Deck is so different because we're constantly mic'd and we constantly, no matter where you go in the ship, you're being listened to and you're being watched. Like, it's not like you get to go home or you're sleeping and you know the cameras are down or there's only one person on at night. Like, Below Deck is truly around the clock, 6 weeks. Everything you say, do, it's being recorded, it's being watched. There's no break. Like, and that's a lot.
Yeah. And like, you're working. I mean, the level of like responsibility. Like, it's not just, oh, we're being mic'd, but we're just hanging out. It's like, no, you are literally in charge of the safety of the guests. You know, like there's so much that goes into it. I just think like even me as someone who just has watched the show, and I'm like, man, that is wild. Like, it does not, like, I feel like you guys just do not get the credit, you know, like, it's so easy for them to edit it and throw the drama on TV. But like, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, but you guys are actually working a job that involves a very high level of skill and education. And it's no joke.
I was comparing this the other day because some of my, you know, the Bravo world gets smaller and smaller as the more people you meet at these events and stuff. And I'm talking to some of my friends that film other shows. And they're like, oh, it's so intense. It's 2 weeks, like camera, like 12-hour days. And I'm like, sorry, ours is 6 weeks around the clock. Like, we don't, and we're working. Like, we're not just drinking. We're like, we're working, but just such an elevated pressure because of the guests, you know, like our job is to give people like Roy the yachting experience. It's not, we're not there to film a TV show. We're there to give him the experience that he's paid for. And then that's right. Produces a TV show on its own or develops a TV show, you know. And I think also like people forget about that with captains as well. Like Captain Sandy's job at the time is to run a successful charter.
Yes, but that's also what makes for good TV. There's always the crash and burn under that real pressure.
Yeah,
they keep you guys under pressure too. I'm not sure. I wonder that kind of stuff. I go, is real boating like this? Because they keep you guys tired too. They keep you tired. You're waking up at 4 a.m. You're going last to go to bed, first to get up.
I mean, real yachting is like this. Like, we will do a charter season and you just know you start at this month and you're going to end in 3 months, and you just know, so the next 3 months I just have to keep going.
So you're saying it's not harder, or if you take away
it's just as hard,
same thing. So it is actually that root level of the job is the same.
Yeah. Okay,
cameras just add a little salt and pepper on it.
Yeah, because we're, you know, like our charter guests expect 5-star service all the time. So even if there's not cameras, like we're constantly, you know, there's always logistics. We're running operation, like, you know, all the toys, the slide, everything. We're always doing dinner service. Like, it's just nonstop all the time. And charters are usually 10 days to 2 weeks. So our charters on Below Deck are only 3 days. So they're easy, you know, we're in and out. A usual charter is like a 10-day, 2-week fiasco.
See, I look at the logistics. I don't think of it so much from that point. I'm there and I'm trying to figure out how much it's costing to make the show. How much is the boat?
Man.
We spent the first whole charter trying to find the name of the boat. We're lifting, you know, little games we were playing off camera. When people say like, oh, I saw you on TV, I say, oh, the good episode or the bad episode?
I asked the same thing, Roy. I'm like, which season? The Hannah season or the non-Hannah season?
So I think of how many seasons. If you add up all the seasons, you know, there's 30 seasons of Below Deck now. In a short 10-year period, that's a lot of shows. And the food is always a strange thing on the boats. You know, I wonder if I've been on these boats and I'm almost asking a question like, is that real? Is that the way it is? Kiko was great. We really loved Kiko, the first thing. And then they fired Kiko, like, shortly after our episode. The next year, Roy walks up to Captain Sandy as we're going down the thing. The first thing he said, I think they edited out, he said, like, why did you fire Kiko?
I remember that. And we were all like, oh, my God.
The show. You asked earlier, are things off limits or not on, you know, and so you can't talk about the show. That's their rule. And you can't listen to music. That bugs everyone.
I hate that.
That's missing. There's something missing a little bit on those best.
Oh, that would be hard. A trip without music.
So you're actually kind of part
washing down the boat without music.
No, there's not much off limits. I'm back to answering the question three back.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do any. I just be myself. I don't have too much to hide.
I feel that way too. I mean, I can relate to that because I feel like the first season, we're working so hard that you kind of forget the cameras are there. But I was just, you know, I'm like, you're not going to be able to hide who you are. Yeah. So I'm just going to be me. And as all of us know, I'm either extremely hated or extremely loved. And you just have to let it be. You know, you're never going to convince everyone. And you can try to tell your side of the story. You can try to whatever, but it's just going to be what it's going to be. And so you might as well just be true to yourself, which is hard when you're in the public eye, but it is what it is.
I don't think you're extremely hated. I don't think you're extremely
hated. How did you feel? You were there for the whole Hannah, you know, and I can't really speak to everything that happened with Hannah, but, you know, I don't hate Hannah. I've never hated Hannah. It was never malicious, but I always felt, especially with your family and like other charter guests, I was like, I don't want these people to hate me, like, because they watched the show. I don't know.
I had to think what you meant. You know, I really don't. I had to think what you meant. I was going to, and see, I'm on Instagram and all these stuff all the time. I leave the little anchors. I do that more than anybody. Just getting people's face a little bit. But so I'm really active, and so I do see. I've seen a little bit of what you're talking about, and I couldn't relate. I had to say to Osa, I was saying like, what do they think she's? Is it because she's so straight? She should be a little bit like crazier or something. And I was going like, well, why don't they like that? And I just really couldn't figure it out. Just slightly, it's a little bit about screen time. Hannah had so much screen time. She really was below deck med, you know, and so you don't want to up, even like right now, don't want to upstage the stars. You know, I'm
The Chief's Stew is the show. The Chief's Stew and the chefs, you know.
So in a way, you were just a little bit newer. This is my honest opinion. I would just say that, like, Hannah was just, she was an institution with a 90% of people were loving her. And so anything that goes against that is going to get, you know, that's like, you know, once I did a Guns N' Roses podcast and I said something about someone, either the Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. I just said a little cast off.
Oh no!
Made front page news of stuff. I was like, oh no, I didn't say that. I wouldn't say I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. But so you know, and so a little bit anything with Hannah. But I think that was really short lived, and I think that's just a vocal. You know, there's people. You wonder what they like. Yeah. Okay. When I saw a little of that, you wonder what they like. Do they just because they seem to like the really. What word would you use? The really tough characters, the bad characters, the tough characters, the acting bad, treating people bad, saying the bad stuff and kind of putting people down or pretending they have a lot of money. I'm thinking about like the Real Housewives shows. They love those. And so like at BravoCon, Lisa Rinna, she walks out and flicked off the audience as she walks on stage. And everyone's booing her and I'm there and it feels real. They're booing, boo, and they're yelling and, you know, just it was crazy in the room. And then, like I said, then, you know, 2 hours later, she's going to go, you know, they have little booths where they sell candles and their books and stuff. And so she's going to her merch booth and the entire room, 15,000 people just throw their drinks in there and run. They just scream. Actually, scream. I taped it. They just scream. It's like the Beatles walk through the room, you know, and I was going, this is a strange, that I still don't understand. I don't understand.
You gotta love the villain as people love the villain as well.
They love it, and they love to hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're that's definitely fair. Not the villain. Like from my perspective, like Hannah was the villain, you know, so.
Nobody's really the villain. But no. Some people break on the show. They actually break on the show, you know?
I think to speak to the whole production of Below Deck, like people watch the show and they get so invested in the character. Hannah was loved, absolutely loved. And like they get so invested that when something happens, maybe they don't understand completely. Like there's no way the audience would ever understand the whole thing to the Hannah situation. There's no way. There's no way to explain it to them because it has to do with real yawning, which is, you know, the laws and everything you have to do. So it was just hard for people to understand, which I get. Yeah.
On our show, we did a thing. You set up a picnic for us. We had a picnic. the wind was blowing. It was at the Majorca Cathedral.
Yeah.
And those kind of things that you don't see, even when we were on the show. So we left. When we watch it later, that was one where you got cut and you were actually bleeding from some
oh, yeah.
Oh, the glass.
You know, and we didn't see that. So when we watched that, you know, our jaws dropped. We're like, oh my gosh, there was broken glass in a trash bag and you dragged it across your leg. You're bleeding. And they showed that blood. And, you know, those kind of things we didn't see. And then, you know, my big drinking fiasco on the second show, I don't think you even saw that. You were asleep. You're like, what happened?
And they thought,
this guy drank more on live TV than anyone has ever done. That's
right. That was so funny because you're right. I didn't see that firsthand because I'm not the night shift. And then I get up and everyone's like, Roy drank last night. Like, you never really lose yourself. And then,
like, amazing, I didn't pass out.
Yeah, watching it back, I was like, what? This is not Roy. Like, what is he doing?
But I know what I'm doing tonight.
You know, it was
gonna go it watch that harmless. Episode.
But he was harmless. He was just like having a great time, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Romay, I think we're wrapping up. It's been so excellent catching up with you. You'll have to tell the family I say hi and send them my love. Hopefully we see you on another season of Below Deck.
Oh,
maybe when
that.
I'm the captain. Who knows?
So we all want to see you back. I want to see you back very badly.
A Huda Media Production.